90% of New Year's resolutions are abandoned by the end of January. Wow. 80% are abandoned. 80%. 9%, only 9%, see it through to the end. Why is that? That's a good question. I've been in the fitness industry most of my life. So the secret is simply this, is that you need to measure whatever it is that you're trying to do. Here's the secret, okay? And I'm gonna charge you for this. I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna charge you as a personal trainer, but here's the key, is that you need to measure what it is that you need to do, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, you need to measure it every day. There was a time in the fitness industry that we would say, how many of you remember this? Don't get on the scale every day. How many of you remember that? Shouldn't do it, because it's negative. If you gained weight, it's negative. Well, if you gained weight, you're not sticking to the goal. Does that make sense? So what you measure gets, listen, write this down. I want you all to grab your phones, to grab a piece of paper, grab something, because you need to take notes, because you're gonna be involved in this message today. Because I'm gonna ask you a question and you're gonna need to be able to answer it, write it down. It's not a test. Don't get your panties in a bunch. No test here. But you need to make sure that you write this down. So when you measure something all the time, you're intentional. That way you won't be the 80%. You'll fall into the 9%. You need to be intentional, whether it's spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, financial. You need to be intentional, meaning that if you weigh yourself every day and you ate cheesecake and Chipotle and all this other stuff and you get on the scale, you're going to know like, uh-oh, that didn't work for me, right? That didn't work. Because how many of you know this? If you were going to start a resolution on something, let's say lose weight, and you decided, I'm gonna weigh myself January 1st, and I'm not gonna weigh myself again until December 31st at the end of the year. How many of you think that's a good idea? Why? Because you don't know how you're doing. It's good. Why did I say all of that? We're gonna take notes. Because today's message, I was going to call it, He Stands at Your Door in 2024. Exactly. Yeah. That was way too cheesy. I know my wife would have been like, that's a hard no. Yeah. That is too silly, too cheesy. So the title of the message, if you're writing this down, I hope you have your phones out. If you have your phones out, it's a good thing, because you're going to want to put things in it. Why? So that it can help you be intentional on whatever it is that God is asking you. Here is the title of the message. The Big Ask. The Big Ask. See, I believe God is asking every single person in this room. See, there's a lot of times, listen, that a message can be preached, but it kind of doesn't really land on everyone. Today, this message lands on everyone. This message is unique to each person's life. To ask the question to yourself, you might be able to answer it right now and write it down. What is God asking you to do in 2024? Is it to be a better husband? What does it look like? But it's unique to you. Well, how do I know that's important? Well, God continually asks questions in the Bible, full of them. He asked Noah to build an ark. That was a big ask. It took him roughly, they estimated, 55 to 75 years to build this ark. What is God asking you to do? 55 to 75 years. He stayed the course of discipline, courage, strength. He had to keep all of that in line in order to complete what God asked him to do. Moses in the Bible, he asked Moses, hey Moses, I need you to go tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. How many of you think that's a task you wanted? Not me. And matter of fact, Moses said, I think you got the wrong guy. I stutter. I don't communicate really, really well. And God goes, no, I got the right guy. So I want you to know, whatever you write down for 2024, God has the right gal or the right guy. If he's asking you through the power of the Holy Spirit, he's got the right girl or the right guy. He will give you the ability to get done what he's asking you to do, whether he joins you with another or he gives you those abilities. Does that make sense to anybody? Yep. Amen. Well, he's asking you, and everything has to do with trust. Real quick. So this will help you with, what's God asking me to do, Larry? I'm not sure. Is it your finances? Well, how do I get better at my finances? Trust God. Number one. Number two. This is going to be all of these. This helps with New Year's resolutions. If you want to gain money, hang out with people that have money. Newsflash. I'm just going to say it unfiltered. Poor people hang out with poor people, and rich people hang out with rich people. Bugs. That was bugging me really bad. Do you get it? Rich people hang out, you know, fit people hang out with fit people. Well, Larry, I want to get better at this. Then find someone and hang out with them that you perceive that is doing well at that. Example, you do want to be a better husband. Well, then here is a good idea. Hang out with another man that you perceive to be a good husband, and you'll get better at it. See, we too many times think, well, if I just pray for my finances, I'm not going to give her anything. I'm not going to trust. I'm just going to pray for them, that somehow this is how God works, whether it's with healing, whether it's with finances, whether it's with our kids, whether it's with whatever it is you're trying to do, that you pray it and you stand and you wait for something to get you and go, I got it. That's not how God works. God is going to ask you to do something. Is it your job or lack thereof? Is it to start a business in 2024? Is that what God is asking you to do? Big one. Is it your marriage? Are you at the end of the line, as it seems, for your marriage today? I want you to know that if you trust God, there's hope. If you trust God, there's hope. What about your children? There's a lot of children in here today. Some of them young, some of them old. Well, I want to give you a story of my son. You know, my daughter's here. Andrea, she's on the front row, and she's always been perfect in almost every way, right? My son, however, not so true. It's going to help someone. It's going to help you. Praying for your children. Well, the Bible says, train up your child. Now it says you train up your child, not me. I'm not responsible for training up your child. I can help. The teachers in the nursery or in the children's ministry, they're not responsible for training up your child, but they can help. Someone say amen. Either that or oh my, one of the two. Train up a child in the way that he or she should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from. Well, my son, and he would be okay with this because of where he's at in his life now, but there was a time in his life that he flew the nest, he's doing his own thing, and a lot of his own thing was not a good thing. Can anybody relate? Yes, sir. And as parents, we were like, and you see, he grew up in church. He grew up with a mom and dad that, now, if you work on Sunday, there is no condemnation, and I don't want that to be the thing. But for me and my house, this is what we did. If I would apply for a job, and I had many jobs, it's probably my fault, but I had many jobs, and when I would apply for the job, one of my prerequisites were, I will not work on Sunday. Now, mind you, firefighter, policeman, I get it. So no condemnation, but my thing was, I would not. Why did I say that? My son knew what we did on Sunday. We went to church as a family. He grew up in the church. He went to a Christian school. And as he got older, he kind of went his own way. Now, for mom, it's going to help someone. For mom, that was very difficult. Because when she knew what he was doing, and it was his own thing, and it wasn't good, and he would be okay with me saying this because he loves people and he loves God, but he was just doing his own thing. And mom would probably, when she would see him, "Are you still doing this? Are you going to church? Are you, hey, is this?" And of course, my son would be like, "Mom." And me, I wouldn't say anything because I knew what he was doing. God knows what you are doing. Can't hide from him. I knew what he was doing. But what I did was I hung on to the word of God that said, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will never depart from it. And I just kept hanging on to that, and I would just love him when I would see him, even though, was I disappointed? Yes. Did I want better for him? Yes. Was I concerned that he was going to stay alive? Yes. All of those things, but I held on to train up a child. And somewhere along the line from praying with his mother and other people and myself, here's what I can tell you, and he'd be okay with it. My son today is at a church. It's a pretty good-sized church in Columbus. And he's one of the youth leaders, and he preaches, and he's into God more than I am. Amen? I mean, he is. So why did I tell you that story? That's going to help somebody that's praying for their child. See, the Bible says that we should encourage one another with those kind of stories. Is God asking you about your addiction? 2024, addiction is a huge problem. Huge, huge problem. Maybe today you're here and you're addicted. I mean, there's all kinds of people that are here. I'm not gonna assume by the Spirit of God that no one here has an addiction of some kind. God can heal you of the addiction. Take the right steps. Take the right steps. Is God asking you to serve? Uh-oh. This is the one that's going to get uncomfortable. Is God asking you to serve? You know, today I really appreciate the four people that were up here for praise and worship. How many of you appreciate what they did? I do. But there's somebody sitting in this audience today, at least one, that knows music and can do music. Is God asking you to step out in 2024 and trust and start being part of the music ministry? Why? Because it'll help change lives. You're part of the plan. 2024, what is God asking you to do? The music team did a great job. I loved it, loved the music, but we didn't have a drummer, and it's not because it isn't some drummer's fault. So let's stop there. It's because it's really helpful when you have more than one or two drummers so people have time off, right? So we need another drummer. Is there a drummer in the house? You don't have to answer that just yet, but write it down. Can you sing? Can you do camera work? Can you just run a camera? Can you do audio work? Can you do any of the sound stuff? Is God asking you to be an usher? Is God asking you to work in the parking lot? Is God asking you, oh, this is a big ask. Is God asking you to work in the children's ministry? Well, mine is no, just so you're aware. It was a hard no. No, is God asking you in 2024 to make a difference? I'm going to say this unfiltered. It's time for the people that are in the church. It's always been 20-80. What does that mean? 20% of the people that go to the church actually do 100% of the work, and the other people sit on their duff. Is it time for you to quit sitting on your duff, to get up, write something down in 2024 that God has been dealing with you and asking you to do, to be involved in church so that this world, this community, this state, this nation, this world can be changed? You're part of it. Amen. Amen. You are. Well, we're going to read. Maybe it's to be, you know what? Maybe it's to be baptized. I don't know. Maybe it's to be baptized. Maybe it's to work less rather than more. You know, sometimes we wear this crown of I'm busy. You know why? It's probably been 3-4 years ago, there was a couple that came to our church, and he was from New Zealand. So I love just to hear him talk. I'm not even going to try to do the accent. But they're going to say it's different, but it sounds like he's from Australia. You know, like, you know, that's not a knife. And I said I wasn't going to do it, but I did it anyway. I just loved hearing him talk. And I'll never forget, he had moved here from New Zealand, and I asked him, I said, hey, can you tell me what is really different about the United States and you being here? What was one of the things, just one thing, that you thought was really weird or different? He goes, you know, when I talk to people, all they ever say is, when I say, how are you doing? They just go, oh, I'm just so busy. I'm just so busy. And I said, yeah. And he looked at me and he said, that sounds horrible. And when he said that, I quit saying, I'm so busy. When somebody would ask me, Larry, how you doing? Oh, I'm just so busy. And he said, that sounds horrible. I don't know who that's for today, but I believe there's going to be all kinds of things that God's going to use today to help set people free. Let's go to Genesis. I want to talk about a story just for a moment so we can say that we read the scripture, so then it's really church, because if we don't do that, someone's going to leave upset. So in Genesis chapter 22, if you have your Bibles or your phone, you can look it up. It's always good to see it. I know it'll be on the screen, but this is an ask that Jesus has in Genesis 22, or God. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am, he replied. Let me stop there. He was available. Is God saying, insert your name? Is he speaking to you, and are you available? Because you got to be available to hear him. You got to be available. If you're not available, he's probably saying your name, but you're not hearing him because of all the noise and the noise and the noise that's from the outside that's killing you, so you can't hear his voice. So we've got to stop and not be so busy so that we can hear God's voice. It might be a good idea, this is not in my notes, for me too. When you get in your car, don't turn on the radio. Let it be quiet. Let God speak to you. And so he asked Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son. And it's kind of like, in a way for me, God kind of, in a way, rubs this in. God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to a region of Moriah. Sacrifice him. Okay. Wow. Tell me that's not a big ask. I don't think anyone that's here today has written down, I hope you have not, unless you might want to sacrifice your kids a time, but unless it's God, you don't want to do that. And he said, sacrifice your son, sacrifice him as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey, so he was obedient. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, so it was a journey. It took some time. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, now here we go. This is what you need to get. There's a lot in this. But he said, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Whoa. Abraham knew that God asked him to sacrifice his son. It was a massive ask. You know the spoiler alert, but I want you to think before all of that happened, Abraham and Sarah had been waiting 25 years for a son. 25. They had made some mistakes along the way. 25 years. And then now God is asking him to give him up as a burnt offering. Here's what I believe. Abraham heard him. He was available. And he thought to himself, I know my God, because he trusted him. He communicated with him. He talked, walked, and spoke with him. And he believed that even if he sacrificed his son, that God would and could raise him from the dead. So he was willing to do it. Because he told the servants, we will be back, me and my son. Now that's what Abraham knew. Well, let's kind of go to this part, verse 7. Poor Isaac. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, father? Yes, my son. Abraham replied. And Isaac said to him, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb or the burnt offering? Wow. On one side, you've got Abraham knowing what he believes and what's going on. On the flip side of that, you got Isaac going, hey, Dad, I see we got the wood, and he's about 10 to 13 at this point in his life, be close to my grandson's age. He's almost 10, pretty smart kid. He might say, hey, Poppy, I've seen this offering thing and how that goes. We only got wood here. Where's the lamb? He didn't know. So here's what I'm asking you. You might want to write this down. Is God asking you to do something that you don't have all the pieces to? Is God asking you to do something that you've got a couple things, but you don't know where to go from there, and so you're stuck? You don't have all the pieces. God wants you to know that he wants you to step out in faith, because we walk by faith, not by what? Say it loud. Sight. We don't walk by what we see. Abraham didn't see a lamb, but he knew that even if he didn't provide one, that if he were to kill his son, because the story goes, he already had a son bound, he was on the altar, he was going to kill him, and God said, wait, wait. And there was a ram in the thicket, as we know. God provided, as he always will. Amen? 25 years. What is it that God is asking you to move forward in? Or do you need more pieces? Maybe. But has he given you enough that through the Spirit of God that you can take that first step? I'm not going to read John 5, but it's the story of another ask in the Bible. It's a story of the man that was paralyzed, that could not walk, that was at the pool of Bethesda. And the pool of Bethesda was a place that people believed that when the water would stir, whoever got in first would be healed. They were trusting in this pool. And this man had laid there, I believe, for like 36 or 38 years. I can't remember. I don't want to get it wrong, but it was right around there. This man had laid there a long time. How many of you believe that's a long time to be waiting for something? Most of us don't want to wait 3 hours. We're like, Heavenly Father, this is what I'd like, and I'd like it now. 38, 36, 38 years. Jesus, walking by, saw the man, and he asked him a simple question. Just ask him a question that he's asking you today in 2024. What is God asking you? It might be multiple things, but I can tell you this, in your unique life, God is on the move in 2024, and he's asking you something. Whether you hear him, that's up to you. Whether you do it, that's up to you. But I'm asking you to write it down, chart it, journal it, so that you know what God is asking you to do. Jesus simply asked the question, do you want to be whole? Do you want to be healed? Seems like a simple question to me, doesn't it? Amen. It's simple. Do you want to be healed? To me, I'm like, I don't think I would say a whole lot anymore. Now, I wasn't this guy, so I'm not really getting on this guy, but the guy started making excuses. He never answered the question. He said, well, you don't understand. You know, I can't move, and all these other people are getting ahead of me. They're getting in first. Does it sound like you? You find out somebody got blessed. Well, good for them. Nothing ever happens good for us. That's okay. Yes, God's blessing everyone else, but probably not me. And that's what the guy was saying. He had made an excuse because he didn't answer the simple question. Because I'm sure Jesus was saying, that isn't what I ask you. I ask you, not why, but I ask you, do you want to be healed? This morning, you're here, and maybe you've prayed that you get healed or other people get healed. Here's what I want you to know. Don't stop praying and don't stop asking. Don't stop praying and don't stop asking. Just because one time, two times, three times, well, I prayed for somebody and they died. I prayed for somebody and it didn't happen. I've looked for myself for it to happen and it just didn't happen. Keep going to God. Quick story, when I was sick a few months ago, 13 years ago, I had ulcerative colitis. This is gonna help someone else. Not ulcerative colitis, that doesn't help anybody. 13 years ago, somehow I had ulcerative colitis, I actually know how. And then I had this flare up simply because of this. If you don't find rest, rest will find you. Too many times we think we can just go out and do this stuff and it's, oh, I'm blessed, God, just cover me. There's laws. There's laws to our health. There's laws to our finances. There's laws to our life. The laws of gravity. You know, you go up on the peak of this building and you jump off, here's what I can tell you. There's a law called gravity, and your butt's coming down to the ground really hard. It's a law. There are laws in our lives that if we don't follow them, it's gonna get us. And I wasn't following that law, and I got sick again. And I was angry. I was mad. Can I be honest? I was mad at God. My wife will tell you this. Our house, I was so sick, and I went to God, and I'm like, her and I both would say this, God, I thought you called us. How can we get out the good news if I'm on this, on my back on the couch? Seriously? Can you not see this? What's your point? Where are you at? I was mad. And our house became a house of frustration, anger, disappointment, negativity. And we even looked at each other at times and we were like, I don't even want to be in this house. There's a spirit in this house that I'm so frustrated and I'm so angry that I just can't do this anymore. And I kept going to God in anger. And my son sent me a video. Now remember, this is the son that at one time wasn't following God. Young person, if you have a calling on your life, God's going to get you. It don't matter. You can run, but you can't hide. He will get you. And my son sent me a video at such a perfect time because I was so angry and I was so mad at God. And he sent me a video of a professor that had studied one of the things about Job, the story of Job. How many of you know the story of Job? Right? Job, he had lost everything. He had boils. I mean, I didn't have boils, but he had boils on his body. He had lost his wife, his kids, his finances, his home. He had lost everything. And he had been gone to God and complaining some. When you read it, he says in one place, he tells God this, who you're supposed to be pretty close with. Maybe God said, hey, how you doing? And he said, you know what, God? Darkness is my only friend. Ooh, I don't know how that settles with you, but I'm not sure I would tell God that. And he said, darkness is my only friend. And the Bible turns around and says that God said that Job honored me in every way. Wait a minute. How is that possible? He complained. He grumbled. He literally told you, God, his friend, that darkness is my only, you're not my friend. Darkness is my only friend. And here's what the professor concluded, and it helped change my outlook. The professor concluded that the reason why God said that was because that Job didn't go to another God. He didn't go to a drug. He didn't go to a source. He didn't go to another person. Even when he complained, he went to God and complained. And God said, I'm so thankful my child came and talked to me, even if it was complaining. Whew. That was a relief to me because I'd been complaining. I don't know. I hope that helps somebody. Does that help somebody today? Don't give up on your healing. Last two. Daniel, I'm going to close. Another story of a big ask. What's God asking you to do in 2024? What is it? I hope you've written something down. I hope you don't leave here today without something written down that God, by the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you today. All of you. Because no one's exempt. Here's a story that is one of my favorites. I don't know why, but it is. It's a story of a rich young ruler. There was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And can I tell my version? It's like Second Opinion of Larry, chapter 3. Can I tell it? I'm not going to take anything out that's going to make it heresy. So don't, again, get crazy, because there's going to be somebody here going, ah. You know, like, calm down. No, but my perception of 2023, it would look like this. Number one, he was rich. Everybody say rich. Rich. Come on, say rich. Hey, money's good. Money's not bad. The love of money is bad, but money is not bad. It ranks up there with oxygen. You got to have it to live, just so you know. So he was rich. He was young. Everybody say young. And he was a ruler. Say ruler. So he was rich, he was young, and he was over people. It kind of reminds me of somebody that's on social media. Not against social media, but you see a lot of young people and they got a quazillion followers. They're young, they're rich, they're over something, and they're like the bomb shiz, man. They're on TikTok, and you watch them, and you're like, well, there's a new guy now that's out, his name is Sam. And Sam's not going to be watching, but by the Holy Spirit, if he ever did, is that he needs Jesus really bad. But he's this young lifter. He's 21, and I look like a piece that fell off of him. I'm just saying. He's huge. And I'm sure he's getting rich. He's 21. But I say that to say this is the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And I believe it looked like this. It's just my opinion. He saw Jesus and his disciples, and he's like, I like what I see here. It's a lot of people. Good things are happening. There's a good vibe. People are getting healed and saved. And it's just, I like it. And, you know, maybe my version, maybe I could pick up a few more followers on Instagram if I were to get with these guys. So we went to Jesus and said, hey, I like what you're doing here. And, I know it's a religious thing. I just want you to know that I've kept the commandments since my birth, all of them, every single one, all 13 of them. That was a joke, 10. And he said, I've kept them all. And Jesus was like, really? You see, Jesus can see through our garbage. He can see through your heart. Young person, he can see through your heart. He can see through your motive. What's your motive? What are you doing? He can see through it because Jesus said, oh, really? Okay, cool. I believe you. I believe you, bro. That's cool. You want to follow us? Hey, I just need you to do one thing. It was a big ask. Like he's asking you today. He said to the rich young ruler, great. You're going to come and follow us. I just need you to do one thing. Pretty simple. I just need you to sell everything you have, give up all your wealth and control, and give it to the poor. And the rich young ruler was like, wait a minute. And the Bible says that Jesus didn't change, because a lot of times we think we want to make, what's the word that if you're going to make a something change, like a concession. Like Jesus didn't make a concession and he didn't look at the kid and go, wait a minute, maybe that was too harsh. All right, why don't you give up some of your stuff? Did he? He didn't say that. He said, give up all your stuff. Give it all, not some. And he didn't change. There were no concessions. And the Bible says that the young, rich young ruler left sad. I hope today you don't leave here sad, because the calling of the Holy Spirit on your life of what God is asking you to do. And finally, probably the most important ask of all is simply this. I know there's people here that probably know Jesus. You've given your life to Christ. The Bible says if you confess, if you believe in your heart that God sent his son to die for you because you're a sinner. We don't use that word a lot because it's not real popular. Because you're a sinner. You have fallen short. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? We have fallen short. When we compare ourselves to Christ, our righteousness and the things we do are like filthy rags. They're garbage. So we become sinners because we cannot compare to Christ. And the Bible says that God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. And if you believe that, you believe that in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. Why did I say all of that? The last ask that I'm going to talk about. There's many. Jesus had been preaching and he had been praying with his disciples. The Bible says they were walking along their way and Jesus stopped and he said, hey fellas, I have a question. I have an ask. Who do other people say? What are other people saying about me? What are they saying? Who do they say that I am? They're like, oh, well, some people say that you're John the Baptist. Others say that you're Elijah, or that you're a prophet, or that you're a teacher. This is what they're saying about you. That might be your take today. You're here. Yeah, he was a good teacher. He was a prophet. He was a good dude. He was like Gandhi. He was like Buddha. He was like Muhammad. He was like many of these people that we've heard about. I think Jesus, he was just a good guy. All around good guy, just loved everybody. It was like a love fest. It was like the 1960s all over again. And then Jesus simply asked them another question, the big ask. He said, really? Huh, good to know. And he looked them in the eye and he said, who do you say that I am? It's powerful. Who do you say that he is? And Peter spoke up, as Peter always did. I believe that you're the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior of the world.